Today we're looking at Psalm 3, and our title for sermon is You Are Not Alone. Now, being alone is the subject of many books, songs, poems, and multiple learned papers, even adverts. So a couple of examples. A cigarette advert, You Are Never Alone With a Strand, launched in 1959 and withdrawn as a failure a few years later, as instead of drawing comfort from having a strand cigarette, people came to associate it with being lonely and stopped buying it. And then another example, a musical, You'll Never Walk Alone, is a show tune from the 1945 Rodgers and Hammerstein musical Carousel. In the second act of the musical, Nettie Fowler, the cousin of the protagonist Julie Jordan, sings You'll Never Walk Alone to comfort and encourage Julie when her husband Billy Bigelow, the male lead, falls on his knife and dies after a failed robbery attempt. In the musical, the singer of the song is hoping to bring comfort at a time of great sorrow and loss. Psalm 3, from its title, is set at a time of great sorrow and loss for David as he flees his son Absalom. It can be seen as a model of how to cope in these circumstances. So, what does it say? Now, Psalm 3 is attributed to David and could have been written by him, and so for convenience of reference, I'm going to assume it was, though it could be just a reflection on the state of the nation at the time. So verse 1, what he sees, Lord, how many are my foes, how many rise up against me. David was fleeing his son Absalom, who had declared himself king, as told in the second book of Samuel. Then David said to all his officials who were with him in Jerusalem, come, we must flee, or none of us will escape from Absalom. We must leave immediately, or he will move quickly to overtake us and bring ruin on us and put the city to the sword. Verse 2, he will not be saved. Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. We know David was not perfect, and many people said because of his sins, God wouldn't save him. But verse 3 states what he believed. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. David knows the Lord has cared for him in the past. So verse 4 tells us what he will do. I will call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I will call out. This is his response. And the effect of that is seen in verse 5. He will sleep in peace and rise again. As the verse says, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. Now we all know that when we're troubled and there's things on our minds, it is difficult to sleep, to get that rest we need. But handing those things to God enabled David to sleep in peace and can be the same for us. And so he won't fear, as it says in verse 6, I will not fear, although tens of thousands assail me on every side. And then we have a cry for deliverance. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. That's one of those bits of the Bible which are a little bit difficult to take. But if you think about it in the sense of somebody who's in a really difficult situation and just crying out, God, help me, just bash them down, get rid of them for me. You can understand that the passion that comes through there. So, and from that passion, we come to verse 8. Deliverance comes from the Lord. And finally, may your blessings be on your people. He's worked through that call, through that passion, and returned to the peace of the Lord, and called for that blessing on God's people. And so that psalm is actually can be divided into three parts. If you look at the Bible in there, at various places it has that word Selah. Now, nobody's quite sure what it means, but it seems to indicate a break, a pause between the sections. And so if you look at it, verses 1 and 2 are the problem. Verses 3 and 4 are the answer. And verses 5 to 8 can be seen as a response. Now, being alone is something I'm sure that all of you have been at some times. Sometimes for a short time, sometimes for longer. And being alone can be great. It can also be not so great. And it's easy to think about those great moments when we're alone, perhaps enjoying the wonder of creation, perhaps the peace and solitude of a church. We don't feel alone because we're caught up in the wonder of the moment. That may well be the point. Those enjoyable times of being alone are invariably just moments in time, a few minutes at best, before the world intrudes on our quiet time. Perhaps a tractor rumbles by, disturbing our rural idyll, or a church clock reminds us we should be somewhere else. But as I said, being alone is not always so great. Now, Age UK have put out a report called Loneliness in Later Life, which tells us that over 1 million older people say they always or often feel lonely. And nearly half of older people say that televisions or pets are the main form of company. Loneliness can be as harmful for our health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And that's a fairly awful thing to think about. And people with a high degree of loneliness are twice as likely to develop Alzheimer's as people with a low degree of loneliness. Loneliness is so often the consequence of isolation. Perhaps because of not being physically able to get out and about, and often it's a vicious circle as individuals become forgotten because they're not seen. Now, we're very fortunate in this community that there are many people actively supporting both church and secular activities that provide opportunities for those living alone to get out, to socialise and to enjoy those activities. And we need to be aware of those organisations and the individuals that support them and give what support we can through our time, our prayers and our financial support. Because loneliness is something we all experience at different times and to different degrees. That sense of being disconnected from family and friends, of being forgotten or ignored. But true isolation is not possible, as our God is always with us. Our relationship with our Father is something that cannot be taken from us. It's a relationship that we can and should always be aware of. A couple of quotes from John 14. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." And from John 17, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you love me." True and complete isolation was felt by Jesus on the cross when he exclaimed, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus experience that isolation from the very source of life, God himself. A sense of total desolation. A cry that was in fact a quote from another psalm, Psalm 22, which starts, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Truly being alone is that separation from God that Jesus experiences on the cross. Now, I've spoken about loneliness in society because it's all too easy to say that we're never alone. God is always with us. And it would not be right to belittle the loneliness that individuals can experience. Nonetheless, it is true that as children of God, we're never truly alone, even in our darkest moments. As that well-known poem, Footprints, puts it, when I needed you most, you've not been there for me. The Lord replied, the times when you've seen only one set of footprints is when I carried you. The writer of the Psalm 3 is very clear that God is with him. But you are a shield around me. You lift up my head. The Lord answers me. The Lord sustains me. From the Lord comes deliverance. And so he can sleep peacefully because of that knowledge. Knowledge of the Bible and the words that are spoken in it can be of great comfort, as, for example, Terry Waite found during his 4 years held in captive in solitary confinement. So also for us, that knowledge can be of great comfort. So we're never alone, even when we feel at our most lonely, if we focus our lives on God our Father. But there are people, even in this community here, who are lonely and do not yet know God. In our service of the Father, Jesus has challenged us to make disciples of all the world. And so we have a particular responsibility to share our faith with those who might otherwise be alone, so that even when they suffer the loneliness of isolation, they're not truly alone, even as we are never truly alone. And so, a prayer to close. Father, help us to remember that through your Holy Spirit, we are one with you, you living in us and we living in you. Empower us to share our love for you with those in our community who do not yet know you by taking opportunities to support directly and indirectly activities that provide opportunities for individuals to meet with others so that none may experience that true desolation of the loneliness of the cross that Jesus experienced. And this we pray in his name. Amen.